Integrity Staffing is making on-the-spot job offers for temp and temp-to-hire positions in Walton. Earn up to $16 an hour, plus excellent benefits with day and night shifts available now. We'll get you working right away with our unique, fast, and easy application process. Walk in Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 at the Courtyard by Marriott at 500 West 3rd Street in Covington. For more information and to apply online, visit waltonlistens.com. Click the banner now for additional information. Integrity Staffing, your opportunity engine.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your entrepreneurial journey with host Peg Stuckey.
Good morning. Yes, this is Peg Stuckey. I am back in the studio, as they say, after a really nice week of vacation with the family and couple of the kids' friends. We had a really nice time, but really looking forward to getting back on schedule, back on track. And if I look at my calendar, I'm not going to have any problem with that because it is scheduled to the hilt now that things are winding down for the summer. So I hope that you all have had a wonderful summer and are ready to go as well. I sent an email this morning that was talking a little bit about readiness. Are you ready to change, ready to start, ready to grow, and more than anything, ready to lead? And as we go into the fall, you're going to hear me talking a lot about readiness, change leadership, these kinds of topics, strategizing, and we'll also be talking about those things with our guests. Speaking of guests, I cannot wait to introduce you to my guest today. Kay Fittis of High Heeled Success is joining us. Kay, good morning.
Good morning, Peg.
I'm so happy to have you. I have to tell you, all week long last week, I was just smiling because I would think about, you know, okay, who's my guest on Monday? You know, like even though you're on vacation, you can't completely shut your brain down.
Oh, never.
And every time
never.
I would think about it, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that Kay is the one who's going to be, you know, kickstarting us after vacation time. So,
oh, well, I'm thrilled to be your kickoff and in post-vacation mode. And I know that hopefully that means that I have you in semi-relaxed mode before you go into overdrive.
I tell you, it was kind of fun. I actually had a 7:30 appointment on my calendar this morning, and I sent, you know, a confirmation a little bit late yesterday just to double check. And so I got up this morning. I'm kind of, you know, slogging along. Like, oh, my gosh, why did I make a 7:30 appointment right after vacation? And
oh,
I looked at my email, and he had a conflict and had to cancel, and I was never so glad to have a canceled appointment.
I have done that post-vacation and said the exact same thing. What was I thinking, scheduling something, you know, right out of the gate the day after vacation?
Yeah, it's not a good idea, although, you know, I would have been up for it, and I'm sure it would have been a really, really good meeting.
I'm sure it would, but I'm glad you're back, and so excited to be talking to you today.
Okay, let's begin by just kind of setting the stage, giving people a little bit of a feel for who you are and what you do. And then we'll kind of dive back into what did you do before you started the business and what has been going on since then. So just tell us a little bit about what you do today.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the company is High Heel Success, LLC. But High Heel Success is also a registered trademark concept. It is an umbrella of skill sets for women, 6 P's that are critical for women to know to be successful in the workplace, whether they're an entrepreneur or they're in corporate America or they're in nonprofits. And I would bet, Peg, that you know many women who are hardworking, dedicated, competent, yet they're not achieving the kind of success that they deserve, right?
Absolutely.
Well, those are the women that I guide. My company shows career-oriented women, whether they're entrepreneurs or otherwise, who struggle with letting go of behaviors that hold back their career. We show them simple ways to have breakthroughs. Things like, let's see if these sound familiar to you, perfectionism, overcommitment, lack of focus, ineffective presentation skills. Do any of those ring a bell for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question that I struggle with some, and I know plenty who do.
Well, those are the individuals that I work with. And then the vehicle is workshops and keynotes and seminars and books and CDs and products, as well as some individual consulting. So that's kind of where I am and what I do.
That's perfect. So let's dive back a few years and tell us a little bit about your career prior to starting High Heeled Success.
Well, it's kind of interesting in that actually this business has been in play for 20 years. In fact, this year is year 20. But in 2009, it was rebranded as High Heeled Success. Prior to that, there was another company name. The content was really the same. The clientele was really the same. But in the last 3 years, the branding has become totally different. But prior to that, I was in the mental health field. Again, working primarily with women, doing stress management, self-esteem building, self-image programming with clients, mostly in a group setting. And then in the late 80s, I had the opportunity to work for a psychologist here in Cincinnati who obtained a number of large corporate accounts to do employee programming. So I've got the opportunity to do workshops that were sometimes as much as 3 weeks long in a workplace setting, as well as doing large speaking engagements in the community. I was part of the community liaison team. And so that kind of prepared me both speaking-wise and content-wise for where I was going. And then in 89, my husband and I were coming back from a vacation from Florida, and we're driving along the interstate, and I said, guess what I'm going to do on Monday? And he said, I have no idea. And I said, I'm going to give my notice. And he said, why? And what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to start my own business. And he said, with what? And I said, plastic. And he said, with whom? And I said, I believe that I'll have clients that will want to come with me. And so that's the way I did it, Peg. I just took this gigantic leap and said, now's the time. I was at an important birthday juncture, and my fear was that if I waited and thought it out better, I would never do it. I would never recommend anyone else to do what I did, but it's worked out well for me. And
Let's talk about that for a second, though, because I have a lot of clients and potential clients who are in that situation of maybe not quite so happy with their work situation. Mm-hmm. They're looking at, you know, what could be next, what is the potential. And what I found is that while they're working, it's really easy to think about it. It's really easy to dream, to look at, you know, is the grass really greener on the other side of the fence? But when it comes down to actually making that decision and taking that leap, it's a very small percentage of people who do it.
Absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, if they're forced into a career transition kind of place, then obviously we lose that barrier a little bit, and so it's a little bit easier to make the decision. But I think that it helps if they've been thinking about it ahead of time.
Absolutely. And I've been thinking about it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because
tell us about
I really.
That.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, quick story, and because I really believe this was the pivotal thing that caused me to take the leap. Now you got to realize that this is quite a while ago, before it was common for people to have job sharing and flex time and working from home and all of that. But I had applied for a job in the mental health field, and they were looking for a 40-hour employee. And at the time, my children were still really quite small. And I said to myself, I don't want a 40-hour week. I want a 30-hour week. And so you're going to laugh, I know, when you hear this. You're going to think, Kay, you are the stupidest woman I've ever encountered in my life. But in the interview, I proposed to them, I will give you 40 hours. You only have to pay me for 30 hours. But I will do the rest of those extra 10 on my own time. Well, you can well imagine they got me to sign that contract so fast it would make your head swim, because I know they were thinking, this woman is crazy. But I did it. And I had been in the job for about 3 months when my boss called me into her office, and she said, we need to talk. And I was kind of confused, because my sense was that I was doing a great job. And she said, we have a problem. Your coworkers are complaining about you. I thought, that's strange. I get along great with all my colleagues. She said, you're making them look bad. You're getting a 40-hour week done in 30 hours, and they think it reflects on them. You're going to have to cut back. And I don't know, Peg, what you would have said at that point, but I said, I don't want to work in a workplace where mediocrity is the watchword of the day. That's what really gave me the push. It's like, that's not what I want to be about. I want to be about excellence. I want to do the kind of programming I want to do, and that's not the kind of environment that's going to make me thrive. So that's really what gave me kind of the kick in the pants to do it. And it happens to a lot of people. Some turning point happens, and they say, okay, now I'm ready to take the leap. Yeah,
exactly. I think I saw some statistics one time that said 95% of people have thought about and thought positively about starting a business, mm-hmm. but only 5% do it.
That's an interesting statistic.
Isn't it?
And it's interesting what makes that, you know, what drives that 5%.
Well, and I think, you know, from my experience, it's exactly things like you experienced. In fact, very commonly what I'll see is somebody in transition who they end up taking a job, not starting a business, but they were looking at starting a business. And then 1-2 years later, they lose that job, decide it wasn't a good fit, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then they're ready to start their business. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it takes some lead time, some consideration, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think it should be, you know, just an announcement in the car on the way back from vacation.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, because it talk about the school of hard knocks. It was rough. Yet I never, once I had a taste of that control of my own life, my own future, my own destiny, there was no going back.
Okay. So, you started 20 years ago, but things
mm-hmm.
clearly evolved and changed.
Just a tad.
Even prior to the rebranding, which I do want to talk about in a minute, what are some of the significant decisions that you had to make? You know, not just, okay, so you made the decision to begin, but then as you started and began to grow the business, do you remember some significant decision factors?
There were some big ones. There were some, I would call them mindset obstacles that I have that, quite frankly, I find a lot of the women in my programs have, and that was I wasn't comfortable selling myself. I came from that whole mindset of don't brag, don't be conceited, you know, don't toot your own horn, and it was a huge albatross peg. I mean, to be successful in business, you have to get out there and sell yourself. You have to be your very own press agent, even if you would have a press agent. It is critical that you identify what your value is and you're willing to go out and market that in a business like mine where I am in large part the commodity. I'm not selling widgets. It made it even more challenging. But finally, I got to the point where I said, I have to get over this. And that was a real switch. That was a big turning point for me, getting comfortable at marketing, comfortable at selling myself. So that was a biggie.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
And consequently, now I'm at the point where I enjoy that, which still on occasion astonishes me. But I see that struggle with so many female entrepreneurs in particular. It's screaming in their ear, oh, that's not attractive. You know, that's rude. That's not something that I should be doing. Well, if you want to be successful, you better be able to do that.
One of the things that I've helped my clients with, because I've seen it a lot, and in fact, I've seen it in a number of men as well. It's not just a female problem.
Oh, no, it happens to everybody, but I think women have a bigger dose of it, quite frankly.
I totally agree, and I know that I've gone through this myself. And what happened to help me, I'm not sure what helped you get over it, but what helped me was to see my business model as a product.
Absolutely. Because, that's exactly what
you know,
I did.
At one time, I did sell a product, and it was way easier to sell the product than it was to sell myself.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized is that, you know, people really didn't buy the product. They bought me. You know,
yep.
They bought the trust they had in me. And so that's what I help my clients do, is kind of mentally look at their business model as a product and get comfortable selling that product. And you know what? If you're not comfortable selling it, if you don't feel 100% confident in it, then we have to work on that.
That's
right?
Exactly.
We've got to make it really, really good. And that helps a lot, I think. Just to have that sort
separating
of
yourself as from the emotional piece of that and viewing yourself as a product is a really effective way of doing it. It's so smart that you do that with your clients.
I was reading a Brené Brown book called Daring Greatly, and she talks about, you know, separating, separating how you think about yourself and how other people think about you and the actions being separate.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody doesn't like what I do, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't like me. So
That's exactly right. Thing
does psychologically says, well, somebody may not want or need my product. It doesn't mean that they don't like me. And
that's
an important distinction.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that whole issue of that need to be liked can be a huge albatross as well. Something tells me at some point we're going to need to have another interview because there are so many issues that we could talk about here, Peg.
Well, you know, that's interesting because you and I were talking about perhaps having you come to one of our legacy community sessions this fall. So you and I will work on that and we'll make an announcement. But, yes, you're absolutely right. We could talk about this all day. So let's move on real quick. I want to hear a little bit about the rebranding part. So what led to the decision to do the rebranding, and what effects have you seen? Was it a good decision?
Oh, my goodness. Let's start with the end and work backwards. It was the best decision I ever made. I made the decision because I knew that I needed and the business needed a very visible, almost tangible way of being sold. And I went through almost 2 years of a process of rebranding, which included working with a coach out of Dallas. I worked with her for a year. Then I worked with another coach out of two coaches actually out of Las Vegas, who and each one of those coaches really helped me zone in on the brand. The first one in particular had me interview, oh my goodness, I've lost track of how many clients I interviewed, but was really going to the heart of my clients, what they're all about, what attracts them, what gets them to take notice. And then we took that information and started working with the brand. The bad news was, once I came upon it and had already written a book that was branded with it, I had changed everything in the business. I accidentally found out, thank goodness, through a client that someone else was using something similar in their business. And I thought I had done all my due diligence on that. And that led me to going through the process with a phenomenal trademark attorney. I cannot say how important that was. And the good news was, in the end, I received my registered trademark. But anyone out there, when they're thinking about branding their business, boy, even though it wasn't an inexpensive thing to do with the trademark attorney, I certainly recommend it. Because had I done that first instead of on the back end, it certainly would have been far less anxiety provoking and gone so much more smoothly. So
great advice.
Yeah. And I found, you're like this, excuse me, I actually found an attorney that would return emails within about 15 minutes. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
And not just an attorney, to have anybody. Like, I wish I could say I was like that, but.
Yeah, me never. Too. Me too. He was the greatest. Just the greatest.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really, really great advice. I'm so glad that we talked about that. Before we go any further, Kay, I want to give you a chance to let people know, one, who is an ideal client for you or a really good client for you, a good referral for you? And how do we get a hold of you?
Okay. I say that my ideal client is the woman who knows, who gets that competency and hard work are not enough, Peg, that she knows she needs to command a competitive edge in the workplace. She wants to convey confidence, competency, and clout, and she's not quite there yet. She's doing well, but she's not satisfied with what she's currently getting. And she knows that there are some things that are holding her back. So she may be an entrepreneur that is just not taking her business to the next level. She may be not an entrepreneur, but in corporate America, and knowing that she's not getting the promotions, raises, the kind of opportunities that she would like to get. So it's someone really that is wants a lot more, and she believes that working with someone like me could help her get there. Basically, I can be a mirror for her and help her see what she cannot see in herself.
And then,
so,
hey, on the side of, I was just going to say real quickly, on the side of workshops and speaking, what kind of organizations would be a good fit for you there?
Any women's organization, any women's association. I work with a lot of corporate women in networking groups, but, you know, the gamut from women engineers, women realtors, nursing associations, any association that hires speakers and trainers for breakout sessions, either for national conventions, state conventions, or even something local. I do a lot locally with associations, so that type of meeting piece is an important one for me as well.
Good. And I know that you had come up with a really special offer for our listeners. Do you want to give them the details?
Absolutely. I have something special for your listeners. If they will go to my website, which is high-heeled, H-E-E-L-E-D, success.com, and just email me, go to the contact page and email me and say, I want my gift, and include this code, E as in eat, access, A-C-C-E-S-S 20, they will get a 20-question assessment, which is entitled, Will I Be a Successful Female Entrepreneur? And answering the questions is an easy thing to do. It's just a check-the-box kind of thing. But it will give you a real picture of where am I in pretty good stead in terms of my entrepreneurial journey, and where do I really need some additional help? And additionally, if people have questions, they can certainly give me a call at the office, which is 513-561-4288. And hopefully the guest will be very helpful to them.
Well, and I've taken a look at it, and from an entrepreneurial perspective, I was even thinking, you know, for people who've been in business for a while to take a look at it and, you know, just sort of a little bit of a reassessment, I guess. I thought it would be very, very helpful. You did a great job in putting that together. It's perfect.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. It's not just for someone that's beginning their journey. It's very effective for someone just to do a quick checkup on themselves and say, where am I today? Where am I today? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I know that you're marketing towards women, but there's almost not any questions on there that wouldn't be valuable for a guy to answer as well.
Oh, absolutely. And don't, I hope your listeners don't get me wrong. I love men. I'm married to one. I've been married to him 40 years this September. I have a son. I have a son-in-law. I like men just fine. Just that I specifically focus on women in my business.
Sure. Well, you know, we're real promoters of finding a niche, and you know,
that's right.
Whether it's seniors or women or men or teenagers or whatever, that's part of the niche approach, which is so smart. And you have really done a beautiful job at not just building your business, but promoting your business. You've got great tools and tips. And the other thing that I want to just kind of leave people is your generosity. And
aww.
I've experienced that in, you know, just advice you've given me, time that you've given me. And I think that that's so important, you know, not just for the 20-year veteran, but the early stage startup, to understand the importance of really that true, authentic generosity. And I want to thank you for being a good role model for all of us in that.
Oh, well, thank you, Peg. That is so gracious of you. I will accept that compliment and know that, you know, it's a reflection of how generous other people have been to me with their time and their advice, and you know, I made a commitment a very long time ago to say, you know, people have been wonderful for me, to me. The least I can do is pay that forward.
Well, we are getting ready to move on here, and I've got a little bit of a hole in my schedule next week. I'm not sure who my guest is because I had a cancellation, so we will be announcing that later in the week. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Kay, especially, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful and very successful week. We'll talk to you next Monday at 11:30 on Your Entrepreneurial Journey.
Have a great week.
Thank you, Kay, so much. That was really awesome. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Integrity Staffing is making on-the-spot job offers for temp and temp-to-hire positions in Walton. Earn up to $16 an hour plus excellent benefits with day and night shifts available now. We'll get you working right away with our unique, fast, and easy application process. Walk in Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 at the Courtyard by Marriott at 500 West 3rd Street in Covington. For more information and to apply online, visit waltonlistens.com. Click the banner now for additional information. Integrity Staffing, your opportunity engine. Integrity Staffing is making on-the-spot job offers for temp and temp-to-hire positions in Walton. Earn up to $16 an hour plus excellent benefits with day and night shifts available now. We'll get you working right away with our unique, fast, and easy application process. Walk in Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 at the Courtyard by Marriott at 500 West 3rd Street in Covington. For more information and to apply online, visit waltonlistens.com. Click the banner now for additional information. Integrity Staffing, your opportunity engine.